When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm registered to vote, but I don't subscribe to your bullshit.
I always go the distance, except on days when I don't feel like leaving the house.
Why am I laughing so hard at that?
I don't know. It didn't feel like one of my best.
Oh my God. Do you know what the other one was that I was going to do? I might use it.
You got to share it with the people.
Share it now?
Yeah.
Okay. I vote blue, wear red, and think pink.
Okay.
It wasn't good. It's bad.
We just finished Breast Cancer Month. I feel like that's pink vibes. Do you know where I went to college? In the dining hall, they always have a cookie station or whatever, table of cookies. And in October, they would do these dark chocolate cookies.
Boots?
with pink. No. Oh. They weren't like boobs. But they were like chocolate cookies with pink M&Ms in them. And we called them breast cancer cookies because they were only for that month.
Oh my God.
And it was like there was some challenge where it was like if we ate a certain amount of cookies in the month, it was like raising money or something. And like the way that people ate these cookies. People would take like sackfuls of them back to their dorms. Like we ate so many cookies in the month of October.
I'm trying to understand.
Freshman 15 sponsored by breast cancer cookies.
I'm trying to understand who at Tulane HQ. Did you buy the cookies at least so the money went to?
No, I think that was research? that was an arrangement that somebody else had worked out. Like we just ate them. Our tuition maybe, I don't know. Room and board. Room and board and breast cancer cookies.
That's my favorite thing. Like if you showed up to class when I, went to college in the mid 1800s and there was, God forbid, something free or like we had Strawberry Fest at at Marymount and it was like a big fucking deal. And it's like, yeah, how much are you paying? You're paying like some at that point, ungodly amount of money, 35-40K a year. So like, yeah, if they're going to give you a fucking strawberry or a lollipop or something, we're like, oh my God.
But you're like, wow, a free slice of cold pizza.
No, for real, though.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. I love free. I remember those days. Anyway, let's have a little bit of an education here in the Clawfus. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 600, whatever. And I'm so excited to be joined by one of my absolute favorite guests. You know him as the director of social for entertainment at Betches Media, host of Mention It All. I just realized I didn't even ask him if any titles have changed, but I don't think that they have.
Baby, I stay put.
We love creator of Bravo by Betches and someone the AGs know as Sweet Baby Dill, SBBD. Words hard. Dylan Hafer, welcome back to the Clawfus. How are we?
Thank you so much. It's been a minute. It's November 1st as we sit to record this, and it is like close to 80 degrees outside. So I'm not loving that. I was walking to get here. I'm like, I'm hot right now, and I want there to be a chill in the air.
Yeah, and it's very weird to be a little hot, little dehydrated when there are fall leaves all around. Something is not working for me with this.
Yeah, well, we got to vote to preserve our future, I guess.
Speaking of, what is your voting plan?
I already voted.
Shut up.
Vote early, vote often, vote once, but do it whenever is best for you. I New York, it's nice. We have pretty easy early voting. So I stopped by my local early voting polling place last Saturday, the first day of early voting, actually. And it was an easy breezy little process. I no complaints.
Do we want to share? And this is information we can keep private, except we've already talked about this offline, so I have already received permission.
And
who do we vote for? Shannon. Secretary of State.
As I said before,
Tamara,
we were
Secretary
on air.
Of Defense.
Just like Bronwyn Newport, I'm a housewife for Harris.
We love it. And I just want to thank you as a woman and as an American for, hopefully we'll see what happens in the months to come as they sort this out, surely, after the upcoming war or whatever, hoping for the best. But just want to thank you for considering me a human person.
Absolutely.
That was
my pleasure.
A pleasure and thrill. I'm very excited to cast my ballot. Early voting for my area is at the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Ooh, chic.
Very chic, c'est la vie. Depending on how late we record today, I will be doing early voting. Otherwise, I am usually a day of girly, though we do highly encourage early voting.
Well, you know, the great
highly
thing,
encourage.
The great thing about places that have like accessible, like convenient early voting is that if you do have to wait and vote on election day, usually the lines aren't that crazy.
The thing is,
people love to have choices.
We are very pro-choice. And the thing of it is, my vote, I don't want to knock on mirror table, and we want high turnout, but my polling place, I have never waited, not one, and I voted there many times, even though, as you know, same, how old are we? 20?
I'm not 26.
Six, seven.
No, eight. I'm 29. Yeah, that's I think I told you like a year ago that spiritually mid-20s plus was not actually accurate anymore, but whatever.
No, it is because you are not spiritually because you're lit. No, it is because spiritually means you're not actually, okay. But you're spiritually. So you're spiritually mid-20s plus.
Sure, yeah.
But you are actually mid-20s plus because you are in your late 20s,
I am, yeah.
Judging by the map,
yes.
And the science.
Yes. And we believe scientists.
We really do.
Climate science, age science, it's all real.
You know what? Sometimes the numbers are tough, and it's hard for me, but I'm so glad that we're 29. Ugh, what a year. What a memory. It's like when Mary's talking about how wine is made. It's like everything great happened then. But yeah, so my polling location is notoriously just chill. We're just chill here in Yorkville. I forgot the name of the neighborhood. It's been a minute since I've recorded with a guest. It's been a minute.
I thought you were gonna say it's been a minute since I voted.
No. No, it's been a minute. But I keep all the stickers. I have one of my mirrored boxes.
Oh, that's cute.
I keep the stickers. I don't wear the sticker because I am selfish and I don't want to waste it.
I'm the same. You know, when I went to vote last weekend, it was a bit of a bummer because I went toward the end of the day and they were out of the early voter stickers, but they had the kids' future voter stickers. And so the sweet older gentleman who was handing out the stickers was telling us that they were lifetime membership stickers, which I did think was cute. But I also then it makes it look like I am too young to vote, which
I mean, yeah.
I'm a little thing of 15.
I do remember in 2016, my polling location ran out of stickers and it was the worst moment of my life until later that night.
About 12, 1 a.m. Okay.
Anyway.
You and Carol Radswell just having a bad time.
Oh my God, what a fun journey we're on, this country of ours. Voting information in the show notes for this episode. Hope everyone is, you know, we're cracking jokes, but this is an incredibly important, serious, scary time. So I hope everyone, regardless of how you vote, are voting, because it's important and it's a right while we have it.
Absolutely.
So on that note, I just want to say one thing, because there's a lot for us to discuss. There's a lot to cover. There's 17 franchises on.
It's a lot, yeah.
And it's something that is broken in me.
Okay.
Because even though we talked about this a little on the People's couch before recording, I had some sort of break in my brain yesterday because I watched about 1,800 episodes to fully catch up. Orange County, the episodes prior, missed, then the finale, two episodes of Potomac. Knew this week, knew New York, knew this week, Salt Lake City. Something shifted in me. And there was so much good to discuss. So we should focus on the good. But before we do that, can we just have a little conversation about new New York this season?
Yeah.
How are we feeling?
I think that right now, so we have four franchises on right now. And like you said, it's a lot to keep up with. And we do have a lot of good stuff to talk about. And I feel like right now there's kind of like a little bit of a spectrum of the types of different Housewives content that we can have. Because I feel like with OC, obviously we're at the tail end of the season and it feels like there's big storyline happening. There's big drama. There's kind of these like, you know, all caps things to pay attention to. I feel like with Salt Lake, the actual things that they're arguing about are not that high stakes, but they are bringing the drama in a way that is really exciting and makes it feel really, I mean, Lisa Barlow screaming about going the distance is like viral on TikTok for a reason. And then I feel like Potomac and New York are operating at a little bit of a lower frequency, but still in different ways, because Potomac for me right now, and maybe we'll talk about it, maybe we'll see how long we go. I'm really enjoying Potomac right now because it feels lower stakes and I'm just kind of enjoying the vibe. New York, on the other hand, it feels low stakes in a way that is just kind of running out of gas, and maybe is already out of gas, maybe is sputtering along a little bit, but it just feels like we're watching people kind of perform an exercise that it doesn't really seem like anyone believes in that much. And it's tough. I mean, we're still only, what, like five episodes into the season, I think, something like that. Knowing that we are probably like about a third of the way through the season, looking ahead, it's kind of like, oh, that's a lot of episodes left of whatever this is going to be.
Yeah, the stakes of it all is interesting because like Orange County, huge stakes, both for someone's like personality type and also outside world. We have national news happening as a result of this. People facing charges, like not specific to Ryan, but like the Shannon right. of it all, the things that are being said about her, high stakes in friendships. Are you trying to get information about whether or not there was an allegation or rumor of domestic violence with mm-hmm. Gina and Travis? Like,
and background checks,
the Ryan yeah. of it all. Like, there's engagements, breakups, divorce, money. Like,
yes,
that's
it's
high
very
stakes.
Soap operatic in the highest way. Yeah.
But I would think that, yes, but I think the like soap opera with an LOL is Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City, yeah.
Because the stakes are huge in Lisa's mind, in Whitney's mind, in a totally different way, like the Bronwyn, Heather of it all.
In Justin Rose's mind.
Justin Rose's mind, Brittany versus herself. Like there are genuinely like funny high stakes. Potomac, as you said, it's kind of... it's an enjoyable journey where the only Karen is doing her very best to eliminate stakes. Mm-hmm. And there are stakes in seeing who is going to be honest and responding to that.
And there are stakes in who's going to be Mia's next top sidekick. I
know. One person at one point was like, side chick? Like, I couldn't hear what was being said.
In Potomac right now, the side characters are turning into main characters.
Yes.
And I don't know if it's going to work long term, but right now, God, it's funny.
It is. And also, we need to talk about Potomac. But just to complete the loop on this, with New York, I don't know that I have been so mad watching an episode as I was yesterday, because I just felt like I had watched three other franchises do their thing, be interesting, have a unique kind of energy. Like the energy on Potomac mm-hmm. feels... like lovely right now. I'm into it. I understood we were talking before. You were like, I'm really vibing with Potomac. I get it in watching those episodes where I'm like, oh my God, it's so nice to not clench. And then I watch New York and it's like, aren't we having fun? Because Jessel hired a photographer and her costumes and teeth are here to pose 16 different times because we're all about having fun, where it's like, isn't this great? Isn't this fun? Clueless theme. We're starting off with a different font because we're quirky. And I'm just thinking to myself, you're not Salt Lake City. You're not Potomac. Like, who told you that you could edit things into seeming like they're an LOL? You're doing a bad job.
Yeah, I will admit I have seen Clueless multiple times, but I have not seen it recently. And I missed the Clueless reference at the beginning of the episode.
Oh.
Because I just like, I wasn't thinking about it. I didn't know that Jessel was going to have a Clueless themed birthday party. So I was like, this is weird. And then I realized it later and I'm like, okay, I still think it's weird. It still didn't work.
Well, it also didn't make sense. Like, Bryn's costume was the single best of anybody's there. Bryn's and uh-huh. Sai's were absolutely the best and they were like taken from the movie. Jessel was just wearing like cute looks so she could have a photo shoot and change again. I'm like, why didn't you do an actual costume from the movie?
Her only look that was actually like a Clueless costume was the third one. And it's like, everybody stopped caring two outfits ago. That like the red dress with the boa that's on the poster.
Oh.
But I was like,
I don't think I was paying attention.
I was like, did nobody do the yellow plaid little matching set. That's the Clueless outfit.
With the socks, right? With the
The Clueless outfit.
Yeah.
That's, you know, if I just think like sticking with kind of this like New York Potomac light comparison that we've been doing, like thinking back to some of the editing moments on Potomac that they've had over the years of those little like fun, silly, like cartoony things that they'll add in or little like spoofy things. Potomac has had some of the best editing. Oh. And that's something that we've talked about. The women themselves, I think if I remember like at BravoCon last year, like Candace or somebody was literally like, we need to give the editors their props because they have helped make our show what it is. And I mean, I'm sure the editors on New York are really trying and doing their best. And I'm not saying that like, oh, the editors are so wrong for putting in this weird, like Clueless montage at the beginning. But it's like the material itself isn't strong enough to support those kind of big swings.
That is exactly it. The cast is not strong enough for you to make this into like a fun LOL theme. All we're watching is someone quasi high on their own supply coordinate this birthday party. Is there a stake to be found anywhere? When Aaron was talking about not wanting to talk to Jen again, I actually thought, am I going insane? It felt like...
She's like, I'm done. It's like...
What? I was like, okay. Like, there was nothing there. I felt like there was no energy there. This is so small and so stupid. But like the way they were like leaning up against each other while chatting, I'm like, yeah, this is the perfect angle for the cameras. None of this is real. Mm-hmm. It feels very stupid. And it's just... It's tough because... I don't know. It's just an episode, but like... Is this what the show is right now? I don't know.
Yeah. I also, something that I've kind of noticed over the course of the Roni season so far, and I talked about this on my show a week or two ago, it feels the amount of references and callbacks to things that happened last season as if they are these iconic inside joke housewife lore moments. The Jenna giving Jessel the Christmas tree dress that then was a gag when she brought the lingerie this time in the Hamptons and was a gag again when Jenna was serving those fake lawsuit papers this week at the party and was like, for, you know, shitting on Christmas or whatever. It's like, we heard it already. You did it already. It wasn't that funny the first time. Similarly, I mean, we've had so many moments in that Hamptons trip. I mean, aside from the fact that we like repeated a Hamptons trip to Aaron's house at the beginning of the season, I get it. You work with kind of what you have. I don't know if that was the right decision, but it's like, oh, we have to be worried about having enough food for Sai because we know that Sai hates when we don't have enough food for her. And we're going to talk about the cheese. And it's like, we're talking about the cheese? That was like old when it was being brought up last season. It feels like they're really leaning into some of these like sort of like self-proclaimed like iconic moments and bits and catchphrases and things like that. And it's like, when you think about the Housewives franchises that have created those iconic moments, they're iconic because the way that fans embrace them and the way that the internet embraces them. And yeah, when you're on, you know, referencing your own catchphrase when you're like Dorinda Medley and you've been on TV for a decade and you actually have that kind of footprint, I think is one thing. And even then, it sometimes is cringe. But like when the women on this show who have been on TV for 1 year, for one season that was like middlingly received, it's like you shouldn't be like quoting yourself right now.
As AGs know, I am spiritually mid-20s plus. And you know who else is? My dear, close, personal best friend and also deity, Jennifer Lopez. J-Lo is actually the reason that Google launched Google Images, because of that infamous Versace dress. And she's still, 20 years later, more sought after than ever before. With skin like hers, it's not a surprise. Love don't cost it a thing. But I don't want to continue to wait for tonight. Whoa. And thanks to JLo Beauty, we can glow right along with her. Get that JLo glow for yourself with JLo Beauty's Deluxe Kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. And much like my dear best friend Jen, I absolutely agree. My personal favorite is JLo's Limitless Glow face mask. It is so soothing, easy to apply, cleansed my skin, had the mask on, and truly was having a spa night at home. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try JLo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that JLo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/AndyScrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for listeners of Andy Scrolls. Head to jlobeauty.com/AndyScrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. That's jlobeauty.com/AndyScrolls. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? In the words of an unnamed former OG New York housewife, we support other women. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormone changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. In the time before that time of the month, I don't feel like myself. I recognize a change in emotion after the fact, but during it, it's so difficult to understand what is different about the experience of being me that changes in a matter of days. The good news is we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meet, R-E-J-O-Y-N.com.
I don't know how much of it is the landscape of New York and the world of influencers. I know many of us were panicked when the cast was first announced because we thought it was like all influencers, and I was happy to be wrong. And also, ironically, if you think of the way that many of us were dragging like influencers being in the cast previously, Psy is my favorite person in the cast aside from Uba right now. So like, joke's on me. I really appreciate her on the show. I think she's really opened up. She's had incredible growth and is interesting and funny. I love the scene with her husband. Like, that's all good shit. But like, also, are they overall too young, or is this the thing that's happening in New York right now where everybody's discovered Swedish candy and like, just need to take photos of specific desserts and stuff because someone talked about it on TikTok? Like, that feels like the kind of season I'm getting where people have decided that they need to be a part of cool, or they know how to create cool, or they want to be a part of that culture. And I'm like, there's no culture here. Like, where's the housewife universe of it all? Are they too young? Is it a generational thing? Is this what happens at a certain point? Because Housewives has become such a huge, successful franchise and entity. Like, what's the vibe?
Yeah, I don't think it's an age thing. Okay. Because if you look at like across all the franchises, I don't think that this New York cast is like, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, spreadsheet out the ages, but like,
Rachel Fuda is a great housewife to me, and she's like 32.
Right. I mean, yeah. Wendy's been on the show for how long? And it's her 40th birthday right now. We know that Ashley and Candace are two of the youngest housewives we've ever had.
Like, better at this.
I think that there might be something about the sort of like New York aspect of it that makes it work less with kind of a less, I mean, the thing that kind of was ended up being the old New York cast's liabilities, or one of them, was kind of their like old school, narrow minded kind of conceit of their world. And obviously that has its drawbacks and its, you know, problematic aspects. But also it was like, it was a show that told a story about a certain kind of demographic in a way that I think this show, obviously, you know, aiming for a diverse, you know, broad, really like, you like new, fresh, unique group of people is, I think, a good, it's, I think the goal itself is, has a good intention, but it doesn't automatically work. Like, I think that that's what, with Housewives, like when we talk about casting, it's like, it's not just about finding six, you know, beautiful, wealthy, interesting women. It's about a group dynamic. And I think the second season with this cast was always going to be kind of make or break in a way, maybe even more so than the first, because I think last season, you know, I think there were strong elements of last season. I think there were weak elements of last season. I think it definitely kind of felt like they ran out of steam a little bit, but I think it wasn't like a horrible season right out of the gate for this like big experiment that they were doing. But I think thinking about going into this season, it's like, okay, so now they've had some time to like in theory sort of gel as a group and create some stronger bonds, and in theory again, stronger bonds can lead to drama that feels like it has a little more stakes between them, because they're not just like these people who just got cast and thrown in together. But when you actually think about the drama that's happening this season, I think everybody, it's like either you're being performative because you know you're on TV, or you feel like you're kind of like too real for this kind of Housewives drama. Because when we talk about Salt Lake and how it's like soap opera type of shit, it's like, I wish that somebody was accusing somebody else's jewelry brand of buying their stuff from Alibaba on New York. Like, that sounds like the kind of Housewives storyline that actually New York right now is lacking.
Yeah, they're too self-aware and too self-referential. Right, they like don't deserve it.
On Potomac right now, the main conflict is that Karen and Giselle had conflicting self-congratulatory events that they both wanted the group to attend. And like, that's a perfect Housewives storyline. And I mean, it's not even that there's nothing happening on New York. It's just that I think what is happening is not really landing.
Yeah. And I think New York, this isn't, obviously New York is a diverse city, and many of us have been calling for a minute to see diverse faces in the cast. That is important. But I also feel like that's not the issue here.
Right.
The issue is the cast seems more focused on filming the show than living their lives on camera and the show capturing it. Noting, obviously, the bubble inside of the bubble, there's a certain kind of, there's an art to figuring this out, where you might be at points performing a larger version of yourself, but it still feels real. Nothing that I'm watching, I don't know, I was like literally triggered by the most recent episode, because I just thought, this is so stupid. And I just watched like Potomac kill it. I thought Giselle had a great fucking episode. Like the daughters, all of this stuff, seeing her interact with her ex-husband, like the way she was interacting with the cast, I was like, damn, like I gave up on Giselle. And I think she's having a rebuilding season. Orange County, I can't talk about it enough. I could do 18 deep dives for each solo episode. Salt Lake City, Lisa Barlow losing her shit is fascinating. Bronwyn and Heather, I need to get your thoughts, which we will get to. And there's something truly broken in me that I was like, there's so much good content. Let's talk about New York. But there's just something about it. It feels like the second season is what I expected the first to be. Mm-hmm. Many of us were pleasantly surprised by the first. And the second, I'm like, it feels like it's sinking a little bit.
I think also,
in its own weight.
Yeah. There are seasons of Housewives where you watch and you are sort of like craving more group scenes, where it's like, okay, we get it. Teresa and Louie and her daughters are going to hang out at home wearing the defunct podcast merch and talking shit about Melissa. Like, we can only see that so many times. We need the group to actually be a group. And I think part of the thing on New York this season, as you're talking about some of the different dynamics, is like, I think actually some of the sort of individual scenes are actually the most interesting, because there's not so much of like a group dynamic that's working, that it's like seeing Sai and her husband, who we have not seen a lot of Sai's husband.
I didn't recognize
so
him
far on the show.
Yeah, I think he changed his hair color.
See, like, I got to admit, when after Jessel's little, you know, clueless cold open, when we cut to Sai and her husband shopping for produce, I was a little bit dismayed because I was like, okay, I literally don't care how much Sai spends at Whole Foods, like, join the club. But then I was like, wait, this is actually a really insightful, interesting, raw scene of Sai being kind of at a loss for what to do with her mom's ashes that have been sitting in her closet for 2 years. And then that was kind of expanded on over the course of the episode because we got to see her and her kids and her husband and her aunt at their house upstate, which I thought was just like a lovely kind of thread in the episode. We had not seen that side of her before, really, I don't think very much. I've been enjoying this season getting to know more about Raquel and seeing her and her fiance, like their energy seems really fun. I think say what you will about Aaron and Abe as, like, you know, in the world, but whatever's going on with them this season, I do find compelling. I don't know if we're getting the most compelling version of it, but I am interested. But like, then when the group comes together and it's like, Jenna, why were you hanging out with Sai? I thought that Jenna and I were close, but Jenna hasn't been texting me lately, but now she's texting Sai. What a bitch. Like, that's not a, I don't care. Like, I just don't, I think the fact that I care more about, at least for some of these people, like what they're doing at home is like not a good sign for a ensemble Housewives franchise.
Yeah. And I think exactly what you said nailed it. Like, the individual scenes are landing, I think, much more successfully than the group dynamics because the group is off. That scene with Sai and her aunt and the, like, do we have something to put the ashes into the dirt? No, I'm going to do that with my hands and return her to the earth. I can't even talk about it. Mm-hmm. It was like the most moving thing that I have seen on any franchise in. I just want to say it was unbelievable and so vulnerable for that whole family and the kids with their dad and Sai and the, like, and her aunt saying, I love you, to her sister. I have goosebumps. Yeah. I have literal goosebumps. It was unbelievable. And I just am so appreciative that she let us into that moment. And I just thought it was one of the most moving things I've seen. I was really, really touched.
Well, and talk about, I mean, going back to, I mean, if she's the influencer in the cast, that was probably the most unfiltered moment we've seen. I mean, you have Jenna at her, or Jessel at her birthday party doing 55 photo shoots. I mean, the influencer version of that storyline with Sai this week, that could have been some photo shoot and some tribute thing where she was in glam and XYZ. No, that was like, that was real. That was like a thing that she allowed them to film, which I don't know, like, what conversation went into that. I'm honestly, knowing what we know about her and her family, I'm a little surprised that we even saw all of that. But like, I'm glad we did, because it felt like kind of the realest we've seen in a while. And I think on a few of the franchises airing right now, we've had really kind of shockingly open and raw moments like that. I mean, we touched on Bronwyn a little bit, and I think like the storyline of her and her daughter and her daughter's father and that whole kind of weird saga that now has come back around in a strange way because of Lisa Barlow. And like, that watching that scene with her daughter was like, damn, this is like, oof. And I always, I mean, when stuff like that happens on Housewives, I mean, I never, you know, I don't think anybody should be like forced to share those moments on camera necessarily. But when they're willing to, it's like, wow, that really, it adds something kind of, you know, really powerful to the mix.
How did you feel about Bronwyn at the beginning of the season? And has that changed now?
I was slightly hesitant, just because when somebody leads with fashion, I always am like, okay, and what? Like, okay, like, it's not a costume, but like, what's under there? Like, I think that she is really interesting. I'm still kind of like, I feel like she's still settling in a little bit. And I think that there have been a couple moments this season where I feel like she's almost like a little too comfortable too quickly, that I'm kind of like, okay, like, hold on a second. Like, you'll have your chance to get in there. But like, she's been very quick to have like opinions on everything that's happening, which I think is like a good instinct for a new person. It sometimes can kind of blow up in your face. I was I was a little bit like this week, her conversation with Heather, like, I feel like that snowballed into something that was supposed to be a big deal very quickly. And there was a little part of me that was kind of like, okay, this is very heated. And I feel like I kind of missed the moment when this became a big issue.
Yeah, I think she was a little, I don't want to say aggressive, but like, obviously she was upset. Heather has her own, you know, negative opinion. When they were going to sit down, I think both of them knew this probably isn't going to go well. Mm-hmm. The way she positioned the, I'm going to apologize to you, so now you need to apologize to me, I thought was a little disconnected, but I think it's also because she was maybe mad or wanted to make sure her point was coming across, and maybe she's in a power position at that point. I wish in watching it that maybe she had done something a little closer to like, this is how I might have communicated after screaming. Like, I, who knows what my first reaction would be, but maybe the second would be something close to, you know, my feelings were hurt and this is why. And then just give the person a chance to respond before we say something that felt to me, the impact to me was like, this is why I owe you an apology for this. And now it's your turn. Maybe if we just start with the feelings,
yeah,
then we can get to a point. Cause I think Heather was just, she was not listening, ready to go from the beginning. But if you were able to kind of get her in that way, there might have been the possibility for something to exist.
Yeah, I think Bronwyn's sort of like initial statement slash apology question mark was like so, it was like,
how
so,
could you do this to me question mark?
It was so couched in like, if you felt that I might have done something that could have seemed like it was, like it felt very, you know, like rehearsed. Mm-hmm. And I think that Heather clocked that, and once kind of the card was on the table that this was kind of happening in relation to this anniversary trip that Bronwyn is planning, it felt like Bronwyn, because she had this like trick up her sleeve of, well, I didn't think I would feel comfortable inviting you to this trip if we didn't have this conversation. But also I knew that if I didn't invite you on the trip, then it would become an even bigger issue. It felt like, I think she felt like having the invite in her hand gave her a little bit of leverage in this conversation. But Heather, in a way, kind of like called her bluff a little bit and was like, I don't want to go on your fucking anniversary trip. Who cares? Like, I think Bronwyn maybe thought that the idea of not getting invited on the trip would cause Heather to like let down her walls a little bit. And Heather instead was just kind of like, okay, yeah, like I didn't like your apology, so therefore I am not going on your trip, but thanks for the chance, I guess.
I do think that it's like a power struggle and perception war. And the thing to me that was really fascinating, like there are moments when Heather is saying things, I'm like, I get what she's saying. Yeah. I don't entirely disagree with it. But when she's just telling Bronwyn, you're too quick, you're too mean, you say things that are sharp, whatever else, I'm thinking to myself, Heather Gay at this point in her chapter of her Heather Gay era is saying this person is being too quick. Like the whole thing about Heather, I think right now there's a lot to discuss about Heather that I think is negative or complicated. Mm-hmm. But also like when she's saying some stuff, I'm like, yeah, I agree with some of her points. But also the lack of self-awareness is with Heather is wild, especially when you think of her first season. Maybe this is destined to happen when you come in, you're in your America's Sweetheart and everybody's crying at BravoCon, surely myself included, because we're just so happy to see her in person, want to know that we celebrate her each and every fucking day. But we're at a different era now. Now we're like, Heather, you have done fucked up before. And she's not, I don't think she's having a good season.
I did have to laugh. I don't disagree. I did have to laugh at Angie comparing Heather's loyalty to Lisa Barlow right now to her loyalty to Jen Shah, even and right up to the moment that she went to prison.
That was a big cut.
I'm like, Angie. I'm like, look, is Lisa perfect? No. Has Lisa made some questionable choices? Sure. Could Heather maybe be like, hold her a little more accountable in certain ways? Yeah, I guess so. But I'm like, girl,
Also, all of you knew she was an abusive boss for a while. You knew that Jen Shah was a monster and all of you wanted to be with her.
Right.
So nobody's innocent.
I'm like, we can acknowledge how Heather was really mishandled the whole Jen situation without conflating every friendship of Heather's to her blind loyalty to Jen Shah. Like let's give her a little more credit in terms of like being an adult who like has different relationships with different people.
I love Angie. I think she's been wrong so frequently this season, and I love it because she's trying so hard. And I know that she feels the support. It's watching a child go off to kindergarten, and it's like, I know that my parents are here with me in spirit. She's thinking of the audience. She's thinking of the stands. So she's holding that with her when she's making these big swings. And the stuff about Lisa is funny to me. Like, really, they're trying so hard. Whitney looks like, I'm sorry, can we just, she looks like such a fucking moron. I don't understand this blogger podcaster thing. I watched a part of the previous after show when you arrived to the cloth, and Meredith is like, I talked to somebody, I don't even know who she's talking, which person she's talking about when she mentions them, but it's like the TLDR is the person that told Whitney is now saying they never told Whitney definitively that it was Lisa. And I'm just like, this is all so stupid. And also, yeah, you look like an idiot for your business practices, because it just looks kind of sloppy and she's not denying it.
Right. And also like the whole idea of like evidence and who spread this evidence, it's like all the evidence that we're talking about is like a screenshot from Prism Jewelry and a screenshot from Alibaba of the same necklace.
On a social media account.
Right. It's like, okay, so like two screenshots of like public websites. I suppose I understand why Whitney wants to know like who sent it to who, but like nobody was like hacking into her bank account. Like, it's not like this is like privileged information. This is like somebody did a little Googling and was like a Google image, you know, reverse image search, and was like, wow, this same necklace is $5 on Alibaba. I think that like with like Whitney, I think it feels like this whole like jewelry thing is so half-baked that it's like, because even this episode, after the whole blow up at Angie's anniversary party, when she's on her little outing with, like, I think it's with Angie and Bronwyn, maybe Brittany. I don't know. But they're basically like, Whitney, like, how did you know that it's Lisa? And her response is literally like, well, I received some messages, and it was narrowed down to that it was Lisa Barlow. And it's like, okay, so like, how did you know? Like, that's not, she just keeps saying over and over again, we have proof that it was Lisa. And I'm like, that saying again that you have proof is not the same as telling us how you know. Like, she's not saying who it is. She's not saying what. It feels like she, in her heart, believes it so much, and that's like supposed to be enough for everyone. And I'm like, unfortunately for Sean, who's been tasked with going the distance, Whitney feeling sure is not going to hold up in a court of law or a court of Sean.
A court of Sean. I'm just imagining that moment. Conversely, calling her a liar, I don't think is spot on as Lisa did. I think the thing is, like, Whitney's not a liar. She's just being misled. Whitney's not a liar, but this isn't true.
Yes. I think, right. It's like Whitney has bought into some questionable intelligence. And
this is artificial. This is the real AI.
What is it? Fruit of the poison tree. It's like what she does with the bullshit evidence that she has been led to believe is, it's not that there, that it's not her fault or she isn't doing anything wrong, but she's not like making up a lie about Lisa. She's like repeating something that might not be true.
Also, when Lisa's doing the, like, they've done this to me again and again, and it goes to the flashbacks of all of the terrible things that have been said about Lisa Barlow, and it's like, you got on your knees for a basketball ticket, like all of this shit, like you're fucking half of Utah for business,
like Vita Tequila, shenanigans.
Yeah. It's just, It's honestly wild what has been said about her. But this is the thing that proves she is bad, is because she may have stumbled upon Google images and passed them around, and now she's the worst person in the world and Whitney's deeply offended. And it's like, sweetie, the stuff that you have passed along and said, like, maybe it's true or maybe I heard it and I just want to let you know, is so much more offensive than your dumb jewelry company that I mean, if somebody is going to buy something from her jewelry company, and I'm sure it's beautiful stuff. I don't know Alibaba, but I'm sure that they do great work. But like the people that are going to buy stuff, this is the thing with housewife businesses. She's trying to position this as a non-housewife business using her name from Housewives. God bless. Love that journey for you. But if we buy it, I don't know. Look at She by Sheree. She was selling $1,800 sweatsuits. Like,
right. Someone, nobody's buying it because they think it's spun out of gold.
Right. And so I think the difficulty for Whitney, and I get it. If I was her, I would be like, no, you're getting it because it's like great quality and it's spiritual and it's almost, it's next to 14 karat gold just on the shelf, which means it's somehow connected to some kind of precious metal. But
it's,
like,
it's demi-fine.
Literally, it's a demi-fine personality. There is something to me that's just so funny about it, because I'm like, it might be doing really well. Again, it might be beautiful stuff. The only exception when it comes to businesses are the existing ones. Vita, Beauty Lab and Laser, Meredith Marks Jewelry, and now Meredith is working on soap caviar and whatever else. Like, there's a difference in the consumers here. And if you're talking about a Bravo audience, I don't think I'm speaking poorly about us. I'm just saying our interests in buying this stuff isn't necessarily based in the item's quality. We hope for the best, but we're buying it maybe because we think you're the worst.
Right. When I, in 2020, bought Pampered by Portia bed sheets, I needed new sheets, and I thought it would be funny to buy the Portia ones, and they turned out to be pretty fine.
I heard that they were really great.
I liked them. I didn't repurchase them because I can get sheets from anywhere. But
I love it. And
they were fine.
Yeah.
But like I wasn't just Googling and I was like, oh, this woman, Portia, seems to have good knowledge in sheets. Like it is like a fundamental misunderstanding of what that type of business is ever going to be. But it's funny talking about all that stuff that's been said about Lisa. I actually, going into the idea of these kind of more like human moments that we've been having, the conversation with her sister this week was, again, I thought really interesting and insightful about something that she's going through, which is her older son has gone away on this mission and she sees that it's having a really tough impact on her younger son, and his social life is not necessarily in a great place, and that makes her feel bad and her, you know, hurt for him and all of that. And so then when Angie makes this kind of ultimately throwaway comment in Milwaukee about Lisa letting her son play video games all day, that is, I mean, it's not a nice thing to say in the first place, but it also is feeding into this insecurity about her kids and about her parenting that Lisa is already going through on a personal level. And so I thought, I mean, Lisa Barlow is somebody who a lot of the time gives off kind of like glitchy robot vibes. And it was nice to see a moment from her that felt kind of more stripped back and vulnerable. And then watching Angie in like a scene or two later, again, kind of pretend that she wasn't trying to make a dig about Lisa's parenting. It's like, this is a moment where it would do you a lot of good to like just say you're sorry and just be like, you're right. That was an asshole thing to say. I don't think you're a bad mom. It was heat of the moment. And because when Lisa said, for hearing her say that in the heat of the moment, it's like, oh, that was a truth serum for her. That's what she's always been thinking. And this is just, she finally got to the point to say it. And so I think like for Angie, like she could do a lot for herself by like kind of just owning it and really like apologizing in a real way. And so to watch her again be like, it was a bad mouthing her parenting. I'm like, girl, we saw the footage.
You're so totally right. And I think it triggers Lisa and it taps into this idea of how other people view her as a parent and also her actual job as a parent. And there's this additional layer because she connects with Jack in a different way. They have similar personalities. She reminds us that.
Right. He's going to be a CEO.
He's an extrovert. He's, you know, loves wearing designer stuff. He's the life of the party. He has tons of friends. And Henry, who is the most beautiful, sweetest, he seems so quiet, so lovely. Like when she's talking about not having people show up to his birthday party, I was like, I can't bawl right now. I literally just went through that, watched 18 episodes. Just, you know,
are you crying about Giselle's kids and Bronwyn's kids?
There's like too much happening, but it broke my heart because I think also there's this additional layer here of like not connecting with her son, but trying to learn his language, the ways that Henry communicates that maybe Lisa does not, that Jack didn't, you know, like,
yeah.
I think it's complicated. I know that parenting is incredibly complicated. I haven't had that experience. I'm knocking on table that I don't, but
like, someday, hopefully not.
No, my surgeon was like, so your chances of fertility are fucked. And I was like, no problem. Back to me.
Clang that bell.
Circling back to me. You know, listen, some of us, it's a different, I really do genuinely identify as a dog mom, future dog mom. And I would love, genuinely, truly, no joke, to be a step parent. I just don't feel the need biologically. I really don't. That's not my journey, but I would love to be a step. I think I would be a great second or seventh wife.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.
Well, you know, one thing, I've talked about this with some women who have been on Housewives, that I think one of the coolest things or best things about Housewives as a project is that it has shown us so many different versions of what a family can look like, what, you know, parenthood and motherhood and having kids and relationships and complicated things and blended families. And, you know, I think that this show gives people so many different real life examples that maybe it's something that they see themselves in and it makes them feel less alone. Maybe it's something that they have never considered and it opens their mind about things in the world. Like, I think that that is like, you know, just kind of like zooming out a little bit. Like, if you think about over the last 18 years, it's like, wow, like there have been so many different like versions of these like human experiences on these shows. And I think that I think that really is like meaningful.
Yeah. And it also just Lisa talking about Henry, just the challenges of being a parent right now. Mm-hmm. And then I think of like COVID parenting, post-COVID parenting. At what point do we acknowledge the trauma that everyone experienced, but also these kids at like incredibly important points in their lives? Control in so many ways is kind of astounding, the additional pressure that so many people felt. And in watching Lisa just kind of like struggle at points with this, that just really connected to me because it's like, I love kids. I don't know if kids are in my future. I would like to add the qualifier that one of my doctors was like, listen, you say that now, you know, you might change your mind, which I can completely acknowledge. Mm-hmm. I don't think that I will, but it's entirely possible. And we'll cross that bridge, God forbid, if we get to it. But with Lisa and with just seeing other examples of parenting, it is just fascinating because it's like I'm just a viewer at home watching this and I just want to leap through the screen and like yell at his classmates and say, go to Henry's birthday party. You know, like, because we're all seventh graders. We were all seventh graders once. Some of us remain in that place. You know, I just it broke my heart because I could see it breaking Lisa's, but also the heartbreak, obviously specific to the situation. Jack's away, like, and we're trying to figure out Henry. There's a lot there to unpack. I really, really felt for her. And I also loved to see a second Lisa.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. There's like four of them.
I think there might be more. Aren't there five?
There's a lot of sisters.
So many sisters. Give me, if we got the visual of her calling six lawyers, I need to see all the sisters together. Give me that miniseries.
Give me the Barlow Bunch.
I want the Barlow Bunch desperately. Because when she was like sitting down, it's like lower third or whatever, like sister, I was like, oh my God. We got one. We got one.
No, it is kind of funny. Like some of the, because there are certain family members and, you know, parents and, you know, people, loved ones that we see a lot on these shows that are kind, you know, like seeing like Melissa Gorga's mom and sisters is par for the course. They show up a couple times a season. It's like, oh yeah, like Kim and Lisa are here. Like I like them just fine. I don't have strong feelings, whatever. But it is like when you like unlock a new character.
Ugh.
I had Emily Simpson on my podcast earlier this season. I know you've had Emily on, right?
We will
never. Okay.
No, she was scheduled and we were very excited. Yes, okay. And we're hoping.
Got it. I couldn't remember. But
beep, beep. Bravo, Colin.
No, but so I always think it's interesting when I have people come in person, like a lot of people will come, you know, with like, you know, either a publicist or some, you know, sometimes glam, like whatever. It's interesting to see who brings who. And Emily came with her sister who lives in Ohio, I think we have seen on the show,
yes.
But like not, she doesn't live there. She's not around all the time. And it's just like so funny. And their vibe is very different. I mean, like Orange County versus Ohio, like it's two different worlds. But like, I'm like, I kind of love that. And it's really interesting. Like I've had parents, I've had partners like come in the studio. It's kind of something that I feel like I don't talk about it very much, but it is interesting to like meet kind of the peripheral people sometimes.
Yeah. And it's also fascinating when you think of like, what dynamic existed before this person was on the show? What dynamic exists now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're on a family member's work trip, but also this work is very, very complicated and big. It's public work that's happening. That has to be a wild journey for friends of and fam.
You know, I remember I had Danielle Cabral on my podcast before. We taped the interview before her first season had started airing. So like I think I had seen a screener of the season premiere to like, so I had like met her on the show, but like the world hadn't met her on the show yet. And so it was like probably her first real press day, and she brought her mom with her. And it was like, so it was just kind of funny because it was like, wow, like you don't know like what this is going to be yet. And there is no way to know kind of, you know, you can know like what appearances you might have and stuff, but like kind of how it's going to just sort of like shape your life. It's interesting. Her mom was sweet.
Can I also just sidebar while we're on Salt Lake? I am curious about Bronwyn's husband. There's something about him that I really like.
Me too. I think
I get it.
I think they seem like a really good fit for each other, mm-hmm. in like a sort of off-center, quirky kind of way. It seems like her sort of eccentricities really like tickle him in a way that I think is fun, because sometimes there's kind of that trope of like the younger wife of the older rich man who has her little, you know, silly hobbies and stuff, and it's kind of like, okay, go do whatever you want, like I'm doing business, kind of leave me out of it kind of thing. And he seems like genuinely kind of interested and amused by the things that make her excited. And like even when they were like unboxing, I guess like uncrating their art that they have had like sitting around for 2 hours, and it's like 2 hours, 2 years, I don't know, mm-hmm. 2 months, and it's like these art pieces that are like weird and wacky and wildly expensive, and they're just like having fun with it. Like I don't know, their vibe seems like a good time. I mean, she's picking him up at the airport in a fucking pig costume. Like,
which made me laugh so hard. When they did the flash of all the different costumes, which I did not expect, I lost my mind.
Well, it was funny because I think I was like looking at my my notes or something. Like I wasn't looking at the TV, and I heard her say costume, and I was like, oh, she's like making a joke about how Britney called it a costume. It's going to be some crazy couture. And I'm like, oh no, it's a fucking Halloween costume.
Literally Amazon Prime. It's couture by Amazon Prime.
I was like, oh, it's like a Moschino dress. And I'm like, no, it's not.
I loved it. And it also just kind of reminded me, this whole prenup thing is kind of confusing and a little dumb the way that it's escalated, but I also think it's a window into Heather not taking into account other people's feelings, and also this tapping into something with Bronwyn where I could understand if I was Heather, somebody in Circle, if she's making jokes about it, then I think I have the ability to. But it's like, no, this person is saying I'm making jokes to protect myself, but I'm actually not okay necessarily with that conversation. And the way that Bronwyn was interpreting and translating Heather's mishigas, you know, that he's not a smart man because he didn't sign it, was interesting to me. But I also thought, like, oh, we're thinking about the prenup, you know, Heather saying marriage is a financial transaction and nothing else. Like, okay, copy that. That's your perspective. But also, we're not acknowledging that Bronwyn is bringing any value to the marriage. Mm-hmm. All that we're hearing is that it's a financial transaction and he's the one that has all the money and all the value is in the money and that's it and nothing else. And I'm watching their interactions. I'm like, that's where I would be upset, because she does feel like a partner to him. Mm-hmm. I feel like there is certainly value in what she is giving to the relationship, and nobody's acknowledging it because we're making jokes about age and we're making jokes about, or not jokes, criticisms about money and a lack of a contract. I'm like, if I was her, I would be mad, because it's not only about his reputation, it's her role as a fucking wife. Nobody's like giving her any respect.
And I think there's a valid idea of like, oh, I think everybody who gets married when they're an adult should have a prenup, blah blah blah, but like, I don't actually think that was like the spirit of the original comment when it was made.
What do you think the spirit of the original comment was?
That it was like, wow, good for you.
Yeah,
but like, I think that, yeah, I think Heather tried to kind of like pivot a little bit after the fact there, where she was like, I was just but yeah, I like Bronwyn. I think the thing with Bronwyn right now is that it's like, I'm not like obsessed with her personally, but I like what she's bringing to the show. And I think that she's certainly having an impact pretty quickly. And I want to keep seeing what she brings to the table. And I think there are housewives where after 6 or 7 episodes, I'm like, I think I'm good, but I'm into her for now.
Heather is acutely aware of the audience, mm-hmm. as many are, but I do think it's different with her relationship to fans, because it started off as incredibly personal and connected. Mm-hmm. How do we think she's doing right now on the show and in the general Bravo universe?
I think that she's been on a little bit of a roller coaster these last few seasons, because I think like you said, she started off really riding high, and then that Jen stuff just kind of blew up for her and I think created a lot of negativity around her. But then the end of last season was this huge moment that she really successfully orchestrated in a lot of ways. And so that kind of like, I think her stock was high at the end of last season. And I think that this year, I feel like she's struggling a little bit in some of the like interpersonal dynamics and kind of stepping in it a little bit. And even like seeing Mary call her out for like having this kind of pattern of being messy, I think it was interesting and a little unexpected, because you don't think of Mary as the person who's like necessarily the most aware of the like human interactions around her. But I think that I don't think that Heather is having like a damaging season necessarily. I don't think she's having like a strong season personally, but I also don't think that like it doesn't feel like anything is really like blowing up for her this season the way that maybe the Jen stuff did a couple years ago.
Here's what I would say. I don't know that I would call it a damaging season, but I would call it a revealing one. Yeah. And it's revealing things that cast members are talking about on camera, and there's more than one. It's not just like one person's being like, Heather's mean to me and I'm mad, and then it just becomes about that. I think it's been revealing for her cast members, and maybe they feel more secure talking about it. And maybe it's also because she has seemingly changed or sharpened or whatever. And I do think it has been revealing for the audience. So if you want to like and continue to believe that she is, you know, blessed be our Lord and Savior Heather Gay, you can definitely still do that. And if you are interested by maybe new developments, you can do that too, or remain,
you know, as you maybe thought of her before. I think it their potential is more realistic and less combative, I think, for people to criticize mm-hmm. Heather.
I agree. I think the piece that comes to mind to me when you're saying that is like, thus far, Salt Lake has kind of been a show that is defined by these like big swings in friendships and in relationships and in that kind of like core four or five of the original. I mean, now that Mary's back, I guess it's the five original women. Like, everybody has had big feuds with everybody else and also had seasons where they were lovey-dovey BFFs. And so I think for Heather, kind of the question will be, you know, this season she is maybe not in a great place with more people than usual. She still seems to be, she's like fine with Lisa. She's like, I don't know. It's not like she has no friends, but like, it's a little sticky for her right now. But like, if the chess pieces continue to be like tossed around between seasons the way that they have been in the past, like I think that Heather could find herself with another Queen Bee season next year. You know, like mm-hmm. it's unpredictable in a way where like I don't think she's having a bad enough season that would cause her to like get fired. So,
oh my God, no. This right. isn't firing. This is just opinion.
Character, right. But so that's my thing, is that it's like maybe the audience won't ever embrace her in quite the same way as they did, you know, sort of sight unseen, but that like in terms of the group dynamics, it really can turn on a dime on this show. And like, she and Bronwyn could be best friends next season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, conspiring against somebody else, you know, and I think also like I separate from a lot of the other group elements, I think that Heather's relationship with Brittany has been sort of an interesting piece to follow this season, and Heather kind of giving Brittany a couple of like tough love kind of moments, I think has been, I've enjoyed that kind of maybe it feels like it's sort of like in a separate tab, like a separate browser window than some of the other stuff that's going on.
I also found it, I don't remember if this was on the after show or the episode itself, Brittany was talking about the fact that, first off, everybody's calling Brittany Jared's girlfriend. Like, Heather does that multiple times. I don't understand how that title came to be. They were besties who were fucking. And like, he went out of his way to not call her his girlfriend. So applying that title now to me is strange. But I guess while she and Jared were on a break or broke up their fucking or whatever, during that 2 weeks, she met Aaron and went on 3 to 4 dates with him. So in the 2 weeks between the let's just be friends or whatever and meeting up at the birthday party, she had already been on whatever. Happy birthday to your marriage. She had been on 3 to 4 dates with Aaron. This is someone who is working on trying to not be codependent in relationships. I just like, we didn't even, I was just from a timing perspective.
No, truly. So she's known Aaron for a while. So I think she said that they've known each other for several months.
Okay.
Or like hung out maybe. Because remember, she and Mr. Osmond have allegedly, according to her, broken up like 16 times
right.
in the last 9 months. Mm-hmm. So there have been many periods of a week or two when she would be free to go on 3 dates with a man named Aaron. So I don't know how consistent it's been in that sense, but like, I think that she is clearly in a place where if she's not Jared's girlfriend for the week, she wants to see what else is out there. And she hasn't spent a lot of nights just like at home with a book, or God forbid, with her daughters.
Dylan, oh my God.
I mean,
Dylan, that's terrible.
I don't mean it, but like, she and Heather are talking about sacrificing your kids for a man.
Well, she's talking about the fact that she wants a relationship with her daughter, like how exactly. difficult it is to be a mother and not be in a position with a relationship with your kids where you can parent them. And she's struggling to parent herself, obviously.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. It's like
you've got that extra time.
Right. It's like she doesn't have Jared, but instead of staying home with her kids, she's looking for Eddie, for Aaron, for what's his name? Probably Eddie, too. I'm sure there's an Eddie. I don't know. I mean, like, that comment was like,
no, I get what you're saying.
Sassy. But like, I truly like, I want what Heather wants, which is for her to like spend a night at home not on an app or like not trying to find somebody to go on a date with her.
She needs to slow down. And also, I am sure we don't know the details of the shit with her kids. Excuse me. We don't know the details of the shit with her kids, but like, I just kind of feel like if we want to, and again, outside or whatever, if we want to turn a new leaf and change, doing the work now is doing the work. It's like, not, if you can acknowledge that you've been codependent, don't date. Get out of this relationship and this cycle. Be in therapy. Work on yourself. Do not go on 17,000 dates in this 2-week span, including 3 to 4 with Aaron. But then we're at a party crying because she's in love with Jared, but she's with another guy. Like, slow down. If we want to repair the relationships with the kids, continuing toxic behavior is not going to get you any closer to that.
Right. And I think that she has said that Jared is manipulative and is very good at manipulating her specifically. And we saw that conversation with them like a few weeks ago where he was like, I'm giving you all I can. And she was like, okay, but what, how can you give me more? And he's like, And she's like,
that's amazing.
What do you really? And so I think I don't want to discount the fact that if you're in a relationship or, you know, in and out of a relationship that is like that, it's really hard to kind of like stay out of it. But then on the weeks where she's out, like, that's when you should really be like trying not to need something else. Like, and so I think it's like good that Heather is kind of trying there. And I think at a certain point, it's like, you know, she's an adult who is doing what she is going to do. But it's like, it just sucks to see, because it's like, wow, I feel for her. It just is like, it seems like none of these are like good interactions that she's having.
Yeah. Also, she had a beautiful singing voice.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. And the way she was, I mean, I was
Well, did you see, there was a video that was going around on TikTok. So I guess you didn't see it. Somebody found
She's
like,
not a TikToker.
Somebody found like old clips of her singing like musical theater songs. Mm. And they like, it's like a compilation of a few of them. And it's like, she's singing like Part of Your World and like something from
Les Mis.
I don't remember what other songs are in it, but it's like legit stuff that, and she sounds beautiful. And I'm like, okay, love this side of you. Like, let's, you know, come on my podcast, let's sing.
truly, no, I was thinking that to myself. I was like,
no, but it's like, I think that Brittany has brought a really like interesting, you know, element to this season. I just like, I wish that it seemed to be going a little better for her. And I also am curious, she has been in this season a lot and she is not a full-time housewife, and so I'm waiting for like her to kind of fade a little bit, or maybe she won't.
I don't think she will.
I just like, because she's not full-time, sometimes that makes me think that like, you know, you might not be around as much for the whole season. But I like Brittany. Like, I think that Brittany is a good addition to the cast, but I don't know what's going to happen with her.
I'm okay with her staying a friend, but Marlo, yes. Poured. Marlo was in how many incredible episodes over the night?
Oh, yeah.
You know, a friend of can mean so many different things.
Yeah. A lot of the time when there's a new cast member who's not full time, mm-hmm. I think sometimes you can see that thing where it's like, oh, they sort of faded, or like, you know, like Alexis didn't go on the trip to London kind of thing, where like, we'll see kind of if Brittany continues to be like as strong of a presence. But
was that Brittany's house? Wasn't that Brittany's house, the fellowship, the
I don't know if she
was it her house or her dad's house,
her
or
dad's house.
Another family member's house? It was beautiful.
I feel like it was her house because Angie brought her a lovely hostess gift of a bottle of wine to Mormon family night.
I swear to God, I thought it was her house. And then I'm looking at the house. I'm like, I thought it was beautiful.
Speaking of Angie being a kindergartner out in the world, that made me laugh when she was like, I've seen Brittany drink wine. And it's like, yeah, but not at Mormon family night.
Oh,
I'm like, God bless Angie. She was like, I have the perfect thing already in my wine cellar. I'll just go get her this beautiful bottle of Cabernet.
If you're watching Orange County, you need to watch Salt Lake City. If you're watching Salt Lake City, I highly encourage you to watch Orange County. They are such different universes, but we're so well fed right now. Because if you feel like Orange County gets into a weird spot, and I honestly think they've done a great job of editing, you can find the craziest, zaniest, most chaotic but truly funny stuff on SLC. Can I shift gears to a part deux? Because we haven't, we need to dive into Orange County, and I do want to get more of your thoughts on Potomac. So everybody, head on over to part two, available now.